This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez.
On 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Skyline Studio. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And don't forget to join our conversation anytime. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call or text us at 312-981-7200. We'll do the best we can to answer your questions and bring you into the conversation. Now, Ro Coleman behind the glass, executive producing the show this evening. And I like that wave. That's a nice, it's got a lot of,
it's my pageant wave energy
in it. Yeah, but it's a whole body wave. I like that. This is Wellness Wednesday, Ro, and one of the great things about Wellness Wednesday is we have the honor of really having some incredible medical professionals who join us. Dr. John Duffy, who is a regular contributor here at WGN Radio, clinical psychologist. He also has the podcast Better with his wife.
Yeah.
Do you ever argue?
Hardly ever, really. Honestly,
there was
we
a
do
pause
pretty well.
There. I think there was a pause there.
We always resolve it. I'll put it that way.
He also co-hosts the podcast On Purpose with Heidi Stevens, and there's some things that he's been posting about that I want to talk and address in a few moments. We also have in studio with us Dr. Kathy Tynes. She's the past president, just recently past president. You just stepped down. You handed over the baton.
Yes, I swore in my successor last weekend.
Oh, boy.
It was a great moment.
She's the past president of the Illinois State Medical Society. She's assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow her on Twitter at @ktynes, and your Twitter handle, Dr. Duffy?
Yeah, mine is at Dr. John Duffy.
At Dr. John Duffy. Want to make sure everybody has that information so they can learn about you while we're talking too. It's one of the great ways to go through someone's feed. You learn a little bit about what they're passionate about, what they're interested in. And that's one of the things I wanted to start with before we get into some of the topics. Dr. Duffy, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Park Ridge, Northwest Side. And
I knew that about you.
I went to Maine South High School there.
Yeah. Fancy.
Yeah, super fancy. Yes.
So did you hang out at that the Pizza Hut over by there at the Summit Mall?
Of course I did. Yeah. Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
I used to work there. And the wonderful kids and the teenagers, you were not, I think I'm a little bit slightly younger than you, but the teenagers in Park Ridge wouldn't always, I'm not saying not for nothing, but they would make a bit of a mess.
I can imagine.
But the ones I worked with were great.
Of course.
Yes. So yeah. That was, I used to hang out at the Pickwick Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take the 68 Northwest Highway bus from Jeff Park.
Yeah, that's like the Pickwick Theater is kind of the mainstay of Park Ridge.
It's the hub.
Yeah, it's the hub.
And where did you move after Park Ridge?
Then I moved into the city for about 10 years and live out in LaGrange now.
Where did you go to medical school?
I went to the Chicago School of Professional Psychology to get a doctorate in clinical psych.
No, fancy.
Yes, super doctor. Fancy, right?
Super fancy. Where's your undergrad from?
From Notre Dame in accountancy.
It's both sides of your brain working there.
That's right.
Does that inform you in some ways when it comes to sort of taking perspective on issues at all?
It's actually a pretty good question. And yes, I would say yes, because there is this opportunity to tap both sides of the brain. I usually downplay that part of my life, and I was a CPA for about 6.5 years, but it was actually important for me to go through that in order to do what I do now effectively.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Yeah. Is that why you wear vests? Do accountants have to wear vests?
This is my one holdout from my accounting days. I took the green eye shade off about a year ago.
Oh, man. So you were an accountant and you thought, you know what? There's more to life than this. Is that what it was? Or?
For me. Yeah. I mean, actually, the day I quit, I was sitting across from somebody who was clearly better suited to the job than I was. And I realized, accounting isn't the problem. I am. I don't fit here.
Right.
It's not that this is just a terrible place to be. It's just the wrong place for me. And so my wife, Julie, was smart enough to say, you know what you want to do. Go do it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the thing, too, is that either you have to be able to absorb that and acknowledge it, right?
Right.
And be able to act on it. Because a lot of people are in, you know, going through life, you know, doing the thing they set out to do. They feel like, well, this is what I studied for, or this is what we do in our town, or this is the job that I have now, and that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And it's scary take that leap and go, what if that's not what I'm supposed to do?
It takes a lot of courage, absolutely.
But then, I mean, like, the courage is not just, like, actually doing doing it, but actually, you know, acknowledging it, right? Mm-hmm. And because it's a scary thing to go, maybe this isn't the right choice, because it feels like you've been making the wrong choices. And that's not true either.
Right.
We get to change throughout our lives. Your brain continues to develop.
That's,
you know?
Some people do.
So. Yeah, exactly, right. And a lot of the young people I work with, I try to get them to think that way.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, you know, you're really picking your next right thing. You don't have to pick your final thing. You don't have to know that yet.
And that's always true. There's always things we can do. We're going to continue to have that conversation whenever we sit down together. And Dr. Kathy Tynes, who I know is from my neighborhood, my neck of the woods, aren't you? In the Northwest Side?
Great Northwest Side.
The Northwest Side. Where'd you go to high school?
Resurrection.
See, I feel like
right on the edge of Park Ridge.
Yeah, we all grew up around
my
each
gosh.
Other.
Yeah.
Yep,
so
amen.
Weird.
It's the other side of Canfield.
Right, exactly. My grandmother's house was just off of Canfield on Orange Street.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we all ran into each other at some point at that Dairy Queen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Talk about a hub. Or what was the other, the big ice cream place that's closed now? Something Castle or...
Oh, gosh, that was in Edgebrook.
Yes.
Sherwood Forest.
Sherwood Forest, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, man, yeah. You went there too from Park Ridge?
Heck yes, that was my dad's favorite.
That was a
treat. They had the 26 scoop ice cream or whatever it was.
Right,
that huge mound of ice cream. So where did you go to undergrad?
So I went to Northwestern undergrad, University of Illinois for medical school, and Loyola for residency training.
And you were drawn to medicine when you were little.
I knew it from high school on. And I worked as a nurse's aide in high school and college, and I knew that's where I wanted to be. And then I took a few years off after college after not getting in on my first try. So I worked in the business world for 3 years, which actually was a blessing. It solidified in my desire because I knew what I didn't want to do. And
right.
sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need the detour to really get back firmly on the right road. And I think that's I've got no regrets. And when I you know, talk to younger people, especially, I say, listen, things happen for a reason. And if things don't work out exactly the way you planned, you know, don't look at it as a failure, but look at it as a new opportunity that you wouldn't have had otherwise. So I'm grateful, actually, for the time that I took off.
I'm so grateful that we have both of your perspective. This is something, and when we come back, I actually want to give the audience a heads up, because there was a piece that Dr. Duffy posted about, and I recently lost someone to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right here in the studio, sitting right in the seat, and less than a month later, he had taken his own life.
Uh-huh.
And I sometimes wonder, because one of the things that we talked about was the movie A Star Is Born, and he had worked with Bradley Cooper. Brody Stevens had been in the movie Hangover. They'd been friends, and he had not yet seen A Star Is Born. And you know, he was talking about it, and I wondered what kept him from seeing the movie. And part of it is there are people who are, when they see someone take their own life in a movie or in a story, if there's something already underlying, they might think about it even more so.
Sure.
And I don't know if he was trying to steal himself from that, protect himself or stay away from it. So I want to give the audience a heads up that we're going to talk about the idea that sometimes people lock into the idea of taking their own lives. I saw this online after the movie A Star Is Born, that there are countries where they give that as part of the ratings. You know, there's some movies say that there's nudity, there's mature content. In Australia, they say there are elements of suicide in this movie. So, you know, thinking of that, I want to let people know that that's the part of the conversation we're going to have. And if you have any thoughts, we have, two incredible professionals in the studio, Dr. Duffy, who is a clinical psychologist. And I want to hear your thoughts on this and you know, the people that you know, your experience when, you know, because we've had listeners call in and say, I think about it every single day.
Sure. Yep.
So if this is something that's uncomfortable for you, please take care of yourself. But we're also here to listen to you if you have something to say, and I will direct you. I know that sometimes we have these conversations, whether it's about taxes or cars or neighborhoods, maybe it doesn't seem like we're listening, but we're doing the best that we can. You need to take the next step too. We can't be everything and all things to you either. So I just want to give you that heads up before we come back. 312-981-7200 to join our conversation anytime. Also joining us, Dr. Kathy Tynes, past president, president of the Illinois State Medical Society and an assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. I know that in your practice and your experience with patients one-on-one, you both have more information and more contact with this sort of experience than I ever have. More on 720 WGN. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show. Thank you. All three of the Northwest Siders in the Allstate Skyline Studios have been corrected. Dr. Kathy Tynes, Dr. John Duffy joining me on the Patty Vasquez Show. We all grew up on the Northwest Side. We were trying to remember that ice cream joint that is now a Starbucks. It was not Sherwood Castle. It was Lockwood Castle. And we received multiple messages from the one from the 312, one from the 847, one from the 773. That's all good.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
The people are pretty sure. They're right.
Yeah. And 224, you don't have to apologize to me. I wanted to make sure that you knew that that was not my intention last night. And it's always good to hear from you, Christy. So have a good night. And I'm glad that you're here tonight. Joining me in studio, we have Dr. John Duffy, who is a clinical psychologist who works with patients. And sometimes will message me because you have these situations that you're in where you are invested. You both, Dr. Kathy Tynes, you work at Northwestern Hospital as a doctor and also associate professor. You know, one of the things, I don't know how medical, I know there's a big burnout rate. I know that there are ways you have to take care of yourself while you're taking care of others. But you both are so passionate about the work that you do. Dr. Duffy, you often share stories and topics that are so important on so many levels. And I was caught off guard a little bit because I'm thinking a lot this week about my friend Greg Giraldo, who he died of an overdose. But in some ways, we think of folks like that who are really down that path as being suicidal,
yeah,
that they don't feel as though they have anything to live for. Again, we're having this conversation about suicide ideation.
Right.
And so if there's anyone out there that might feel vulnerable, there are phone numbers that you can reach out and you can Google the suicide hotline. We want to make sure that you are taken care of. We also want to make sure we have this conversation because it's important to have some understanding. We're never going to completely understand it, are we?
No, we're really not. And sometimes in my field, just when we think we have a grip on it, you know, we can profile somebody who's suicidal. There are these cases that come along, and this is probably the post that you saw, because I put up a couple of them recently, of people who don't seem suicidal in any demonstrative way. There was a segment on CBS Sunday Morning a couple weeks ago. Parents were talking about their teenage daughter, who was a superstar in every way and happy, and there was no overt indication whatsoever. And they asked her and they talked to her, and not until she took her life did they find her journals and find out, you know, how distraught she was on a regular basis. And so that kind of takes all of these ideas that we're looking for somebody who has this dramatic change in affect or is isolated or is sad, you know, overtly, and kind of turns it on its head and says, well, not necessarily. You know, we should probably check with all of our kids and maybe all of our friends. There was recently an Olympic cyclist. She won a silver medal a couple of years ago and was set to win a gold. And she took her life recently. Also didn't fit any real profile that we would be looking for. And so her family is still trying to pick up the pieces. And I've worked with families where they look back and they're always looking for, like, wow, what did we miss? What was the evidence, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the best I can encourage is to talk to your kids and ask, regardless of the state they're in. And I hate the idea that we have to do that, but I think the more we talk about it like we're doing right now, mm-hmm, the better off we all are, because then we take the stigma and the taboo away from talking about it, and it's just something that's a natural part of our conversation instead of something that's way out there and taboo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to say, go ahead, Doc.
Well, isn't it true that you know, really the patients with depression that are, you know, who have all that slowing of energy and have trouble getting out of bed, they're less at risk than the patients who have the energy that it takes to complete a suicide.
That actually is one of the, when you are working with somebody and they truly are limited in energy, there is a little comfort that, well, there is not enough energy there to actually complete a suicide.
And it's, you know? And it's often when they start treatment,
yes,
that sometimes that enables them to have that energy that it takes to move forward with their plan, unfortunately, and that's where the risk is highest. So close monitoring is really important during that phase.
That's so true. Exactly right. Yeah.
We have a listener from the 847. This is so heartbreaking. My daughter is wanting to take her life right now. She has been in the hospital before and came out without being helped. Her psychiatrist came to the house tonight and spent more than an hour with her. Her pain is so excruciating. She just wants it to stop. Do you have any thoughts on ketamine treatment for treating resistant depression? I know this is something that's new. I know that we talk about it on this station. It's something that, I mean, it seems to be a hope, right?
Right.
And have you had an experience?
Well, Dr. Tynes, I suspect that you'll be able to speak to this more effectively than I, but I remember when I first heard of ketamine, it was probably a decade ago, and it was a suicidal young man begging his parents for this drug that he had heard of that had been researched in the UK, but not much here at all.
Okay.
The few patients I've worked with who have taken ketamine, I can say that, you know, not having an MD, that I have seen a positive shift in their symptoms,
right,
for sure.
And that's has been the direction that, of course, a lot of the centers that use ketamine as a treatment are moving in. And this is something that's gotten a lot of research. I know that there's more input that needs to be. But I mean, you hate to say you've got to find something, right? But
yeah, so it's not considered a first line treatment,
right?
It's really for people who fail the first line treatments or resistant, and they. Just the FDA just approved a nasal spray for use in that setting, so it's not your go-to medication, but certainly for people whose other avenues have not been helpful, it's an option. Another option that's, you know, still used is electroconvulsive therapy, which has gotten a bad rap just because it certainly seems quite extreme. However, for people who don't respond to anything else, sometimes it's the only thing that can turn their depression around.
Right. Yeah, well, and that's, you know, there's so many things that you want to say, but you never know what the right or wrong thing is. And not saying anything seems wrong, too, you know, refraining right. from it. Because, you know, apparently Brody Stevens, who, again, a comedian who was here in January for the Cubs convention, took his life in February. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, he would talk about how he thought about it. And he was very positive, but in a way that was almost aggressive. And you thought, okay, well, I almost feel bad for not being positive about things. So I think he almost built this wall of not wanting people to help him almost.
Sure.
I'm just, you know, you try to piece things together in retrospect. When we come back, we will talk more. We've got some texts coming in. My brother was a drug addict, $60,000 for a 3-month treatment. He has been wanting to end his life also. The real problem is insurance and not paying and money-hungry facilities. So a lot of people struggling with this and wanting to find an answer. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us at that number to join the conversation anytime. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show. Joining me in studio, Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist. And we also have Dr. Kathy Tynes. She's an internist? No, internist. Mm-hmm. And assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern, past president of the Illinois State Medical Society. More when we come back. 720 WGN.
Party of the summer, and it's on sale now. Blackhawks players, coaches, alumni, and fans gather at the Hilton Chicago July 26th through the 28th for the 2019 Blackhawks Convention, presented by Magellan Corporation. There's autograph and photo sessions, Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, and much more. Single-day passes and weekend passes with extra benefits are on sale now. Visit ChicagoBlackhawks.com to purchase passes and get more info.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
No matter how well you provide for your family today, if you don't have life insurance, their future may be at risk. Think about what would happen if you were gone. Would they struggle to pay the bills and face an uncertain future? They don't have to. You can help guarantee those you love $200,000, $500,000, $750,000 or more with life insurance through AIG Direct. We'll help you get more for your money, up to 70% more. For a free quote, call 1-800-300-1497. Just look, you could get $250,000 of term life coverage for as little as $14 a month. It's no wonder millions of people rely on AIG companies. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Make the future more secure for those you love. Call now so you can sleep better at night. For a free quote, call 1-800-300-1497. That's 1-800-300-1497. 1-800-300-1497.
Join Lou Manfredini live from the Fox Home Center this Saturday from 7 to 10 a.m. With live music and complimentary breakfast and refreshments, the first 300 attendees will also receive a stocked goodie bag. Come on out and join the party. Sponsored by Trex Decking, Everlife Luxury Vinyl Tile from MSI, Shiloh Cabinetry, and PPG Prolux. For more information, go to foxhomecenter.com. Lou Manfredini live this Saturday at 7 a.m. from Fox Home Center in Alsip. See you there.
We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. In a moment, we'll turn it over to news with Andre Darlis. We're continuing our conversation. If you have any thoughts or questions, please feel free to join us at 312-981-7200. I know this is a hard conversation for folks to have. And by the way, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 800-273-8255. And of course, in the state of Illinois, we also have such a crisis here in Chicago when it comes to law enforcement, veterans. There are so many programs out there. We'll continue to have these conversations. We need to make sure that we don't forget those who need it the most. So I want to thank my guests in studio for having this difficult conversation. And there's so many things to talk about. We want to make sure that you are feeling heard, and we are here for you tonight. Wellness Wednesday. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio with Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and an assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. Follow her on Twitter at @ktynes. You can also visit the Medical Society's website, ismms.org. In studio with us as well, Dr. John Duffy, who is a clinical psychologist. You can hear him on the podcast. It's Better with his wife. What's your wife's name? We shouldn't just say my wife. Hold on. Where's your mic? There it is. Julie?
Yeah, Julie.
Julie and Dr. Duffy have a podcast called Better, and along with Heidi Stevens, he also co-hosts the podcast On Purpose, and these are all available on WGN Plus?
I think only on iTunes right now. Okay. I'll work on WGN Plus.
Oh, well, whatever it takes.
Yeah, right.
And both regular contributors here at WGN Radio. Happy to have them in studio right now. And we were talking a little bit about some of the therapies that folks might turn to when it comes to depression or suicidal thoughts or suicidal ideation. We have on the line, Squat. Hey, Squat. Great to hear from you from the 815.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Patty. Love your show.
Thank you. Love hearing from you.
Have you guys heard anything about hypnotherapy and any reasons why marijuana isn't on the list? I know the users would go up tremendously, but I struggle every day, and thoughts continue to come in my mind, but I think I'd be too selfish, I think, to do anything about it, but it's truly a struggle because all my life revolves around is sleeping and working. The only reason I get up is to work, and I don't take care of normal errands because I'm kind of being an isolationist. So I know it's a lot to...
No, we're glad you called, Squad.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Squad, I'll speak to part of this. Certainly, I have worked with a lot of clients who have pursued hypnotherapy as well as psychotherapy. I am a fan of combining the two. I find that psychotherapy, there's a lot more research that I'm familiar with that supports the efficacy, the usefulness of psychotherapy. But I'm also inclined to encourage you to try anything that gets you out and trying something different that might move you away from feeling isolated in your world there, and trying something new, you know, because I think
I'm on about 5 medications, and you know, it's time to probably fire my doctor. So,
how long have you been seeing your doctor? This particular doctor?
Well, probably for 10 years, I imagine.
And during this time, when these feelings started, was it before you started seeing this doctor, or has it been since your treatment with him?
You know what? They've gotten. It's honestly say they've gotten. It's been worse.
Right.
So, that's an obvious choice I have to make, I guess.
Which choice? Oh, you mean whether or not you seek different treatment? Maybe try something.
Yeah. Or seek some. Or somebody new out to offer me different, an open mind, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but you know,
here, Dr. Kathy Tynes might have some thoughts.
So I certainly always encourage patients to seek a second opinion, to get a fresh set of eyes on a problem. And sometimes, you know, it's a relationship issue with your current physician. Sometimes it's, seeing somebody new who has a new approach or different set of lenses that they see your problem through. So I don't think it's a bad idea to seek a second opinion, but it's not, you know, you have to keep in mind that the grass isn't always greener as much as we would like it to be, so that you don't set your hopes up on a new doctor's going to fix everything right away. Be realistic. It's a chronic long-term problem, and unfortunately, it often requires a chronic long-term solution. And I feel for you. I know it must be a hard way to live day in and day out, but please keep hope, and please keep looking for more solutions. You can't.
Oh, I'm trying, and, you know, I look forward to every day to listen to Patty's show because it's uplifting. And
there you go.
There's the best antidepressant going right there.
Yes.
It is. And can you guys expound one thing?
Sure. Hopefully.
Doctor mentioned about psychotherapies.
Yeah,
quick definition.
Yeah, so that's what you think of when you think of talk therapy, right? That's where you're on the couch and the doc is sitting on the chair and you talk through the difficulties that you're going through. And,
Okay.
And that's what I do most of the time. And there's research that would say that the combination of the medication that you're on and talk therapy is probably the best way to mitigate suicidal thoughts and depression. So I would encourage you to try both. I would absolutely encourage you, Scott, to talk to a therapist, a psychotherapist.
Well, in the past I've talked to a counselor, but that's not the same thing, is it?
Well, now I would talk to make sure somebody who's licensed, who is familiar with depression and suicidal thoughts, make sure it's somebody who has experience with what you're going through so that they can relate and they can help you.
Okay. One more quick one, I'll go.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Absolutely.
Dr. Tynes mentioned, did she say shock therapy or something?
Yes, exactly. Electric convulsive therapy, or better known as shock therapy.
Yeah, they don't. Obviously, they probably don't want. My brother has OCD, and he's doing fine now. He's not working. He can't work, but he had electroshock. I know the term is obsolete, my father used to think before he passed it, it did it, but it's a service.
Mm-hmm.
But would you go into a little bit about that, my condition, maybe?
Sure. So what it does is it actually induces a seizure. So it kind of scrambles in some ways the neural pathways within the brain.
Okay.
And so, for some people, it can almost work like it's resetting. Like when you think about rebooting your computer, you turn it off, you turn it back on again, and then, you know, things, the connections that form, you may form new connections, and they may work better than they did before. So just as a simplistic way of putting it. So for some people where medication is not seeming to help, sometimes it's an alternative that can be effective. So it's an option.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not first-line therapy. And if you have other medical conditions, you may not be a candidate.
Okay.
So it's something to keep in mind, though.
Right. And this all, of course, depending on what your doctor or who you turn to for further assistance and advice and treatment.
Thanks very much for your kindness.
Squat, it's always, you know, great to hear from you, and I'm glad you shared this with us. I know it's not easy to do, and I think you speak for a lot of people out there who might be thinking similar things, so you helped answer a lot of questions for listeners, too.
Good. Thank you. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much, Squat. All right, we'll talk in a little bit. All right, take care. I'll see you on the tech screen, too. Be well, Squat.
All right.
We'll talk to you later. Quick break here. We'll turn. If anybody else has any questions or comments, of course, the tech screen is open. The phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. Before Dr. Duffy goes, because again, you have patients early in the morning, and Dr. Tynes, I make her stay late. But I want to talk, because this is in the line of like when we kind of get consumed by an idea, you know, our teenagers. I have a son who's 15 and already taking his PSAT. You know, we kind of set them up for what's going to be next. amongst as teenagers in this college cheating scandal is not just about, you know, the idea that, oh, you know, if you don't get into the right school, but whether or not they should be going to, you know, we should be forcing them into college. There's a great article I want to talk about in Popular Mechanics about trade schools and the sort of stigma that a lot of us have. I remember even in grade school, my eighth grade teacher, let's call her Mrs. Jordan because that was her name. She would, like, if you didn't do well on a test, she would say, well, what do you want? You just want to be a bus driver when you get up? Well, you know what? There's a nobility in any job people have.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, somebody has to do the work. And I just remember, and the thing that made us all mad was that, and it makes me almost start to cry now, was that one of my classmates, Erica, her dad was a bus driver.
Aww.
So, I mean, like, we were all collectively angry.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But the thing was that even we knew, but yet none of us, I think almost everybody I went to grade school with still went to college, even in our minds knowing that there is so much value in jobs. And there are great jobs out there. There's a need for the skilled trades. And we want to talk about that a little bit when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show. I'm joined by Dr. John Duffy and Dr. Kathy Tynes. My mom is so mad. See, you could have been a doctor too. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Really incredible conversation with our Wellness Wednesday guests, Dr. Kathy Tynes, past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and now and also assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern, Dr. John Duffy. He is a clinical psychologist and the co-host of the podcast Better with his wife Julie and the podcast Heidi On Purpose with Heidi Stevens, both available on iTunes. And I want to make sure we talk to our listeners who have calls and texts that they want to share some thoughts and questions. Hey, George, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad that you called tonight. What did you want to ask?
So my question is, how does one go about finding a therapist or a doctor or what is the first step? You know, I struggle with a lot of things, but with a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, but I'm not sure how to go about making that first step. I don't know what to do.
You know, that is really tricky, George. I'm really glad you called because I think that's a question a lot of people have. Is
yes.
Like they recognize, oh, I could really use therapy or my child or my friend, and I have no idea where to turn. If you know somebody who is talking to somebody and is happy with them, that's a good start. So talking to a couple people is a good start. If you are absolutely starting on this cold, Psychology Today, the magazine, has a list by area of doctors that they've kind of vetted and they recommend. So that's also a good place to start. So either word of mouth or Psychology Today's website.
And I would encourage you.
Please.
I'm sorry, George. And I would encourage you also to speak with your primary care doctor because they often have a good handle on, you know, who's good within your network or who's good within, you know, your geographic area, especially when it comes to maybe some tailored needs. So that's another resource. And I always, always recommend people to go to their insurance company's website and compare notes against the recommendations that you get to see that doctor's in network. If they're not in network, it can be sometimes cost prohibitive. So please do that. A lot of therapists do see patients on a sliding scale as well. So it doesn't hurt to inquire if there's somebody who's really good that you want to see if they'll give you a break if you can't afford their prices.
Sure. So I'm going to throw out there this two things. One, I did talk to my primary care giver and said that I was struggling and that I was going to need some help, and it was a good day, so I was able to talk to him about it because it was a good day. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'm talking to you today because when it's a bad day, I'm not going to be able to talk to you.
Right.
And so suggesting that you just sort of reach out to these people that you don't know, groups, whoever that is out in the ether, it's a pretty big thing to sort of take that step.
Absolutely.
When it's already very overwhelming.
Sure.
How do you figure out how to navigate that? How do you get past that inertia that is keeping you stuck?
I don't know, Dr. Duffy. I'm not sure I have a good answer for that. I think if I can give a warm handoff to somebody, that's probably the best thing that I can do. And I'm fortunate that I practice in a location where we actually have a therapist in our office. And I can, if the therapist is there that day, I can walk down the hall with my patient, knock on the door, and introduce them.
Yeah.
That's not common. That's not every place that you go.
And George, you bring up a good point. Like you said, on a good day, I can reach out and I can talk to somebody, and I think a lot of people feel that way. Like they need that kind of like momentum to get going, to even have the talk with anybody, even somebody they're close with. One suggestion I have, and some people that have ended up in my office have used, is most areas have some type of community mental health center. And if you can reach out to them and just describe what's going on, they can provide you a referral, and you'll feel a little less like, okay, I'm cold here and in the dark. And even if you go outside your community, they should have referral resources at different community mental health centers.
Okay.
All right, George. And as somebody who has sought out, I mean, I've messaged Dr. Duffy and been like, hey, who do you think I should talk to? Because it probably shouldn't be you, because you're my friend, and that's weird. but George, for anybody else out there, sometimes it really is just kind of trial and error. And, even like reading the description of what a doctor's background is and what kind of treatment, what kind of patients that they work with, that you might even find something that matches, whether it's, you know, childhood abuse or, surviving something violent, or, you know, just trying to deal with what's going on from day to day life stresses. You'll find that some doctors are pretty skilled at putting out there what they are best able to deal with and help you with, if that makes sense.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's not easy, believe me.
Yeah, good luck, George. Yeah. Seriously.
Thank you, George. Let us know if you need how it goes, okay? If you want to catch up and right. update us.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Dave wanted to join our conversation as well. Oop, let me see. Oh, there we go. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hey, Patty. Hi, guys. Hi. It's a good conversation. I'm glad you're talking about this, because I have my very best friend, Bill. He lives in my neighborhood a few blocks away. Known him for about 13 years. He has a history of mental health. He has, depression, bipolar, anxiety and such. And around around the holidays, he just started getting kind of just not his usual self. And then he wound up, he's on several different medications. Like one of them is Klonopin for sleeping. And I think from what I understand, he kind of, it wasn't working. So he kept taking more than he should have. Then he wound up in the hospital. He wound up with seizures from the medication. But then he was in the hospital for a week at Rush University. And then he came home and it was kind of okay. And then he just came out of the hospital again just recently, but he's just not himself. And I don't know if the medication's not working, but he won't. But he's just being kind of stubborn. He's not. And we keep telling him, this is, why don't you go get a second opinion, go to the hospital, and get yourself back in order? Because his mom said, he hasn't been like this in like 20 something years. He just won't go. He says, well, I don't want to go to the hospital. He says, I slept for 5 hours. He's kind of like in a dream, like in a dreamland. You know, he's doing these rash decisions, and we're trying to convince him to go to a hospital for psychiatric help, but he just won't do it. What do you have to do to convince somebody, to say, okay, you need to go? I mean, you can't make somebody go. He's a good friend. I don't want to see him suffer.
No, Ra, you're clearly a very good friend, and Bill's lucky to have you, Dave. And you're asking the right question. In the end, you can't make somebody do, especially an adult, do something they don't want to do. So the best you can do is encourage them. And what I think a lot of us find ourselves doing is pressing real hard and saying, you've got to do this,
right?
Instead of kind of reflecting what we see and the differences we see in them and the degree to which we're concerned. And so if you talk to them kind of like you've talked to us about, like, boy, I really see a difference in you, and that doesn't seem like you. So I'd really love for you to talk to somebody. And my press, usually I do this with parents a lot, is I usually, if you feel like you really want to go nuclear with the situation, to throw something out like, hey, go and talk to somebody twice and do that for me. Just do that for me as a buddy. You know what I mean? And and see if he doesn't come through that way. But you know,
he's working with a group. He's working with an organization called Thresholds. But I don't know how much you're really doing for him. It's just like they didn't show up for his one appointment. They didn't show up, I guess you said. And I said, well, but it's just at a point now that's affecting his behavior, just becoming blunt in certain ways. And his mom is just so frustrated. She says, I don't know what to do. He's just, you know, he's being just so, you know, bullheaded. And she's just getting frustrated with it to the point. He said, you know, we got to do something. He can't go on this way. And I said, yeah, I agree. And, you know, and until he gets the help he needs, I don't know what more I could do.
And it's good that you're in touch with the rest of his support system, because, you know, sometimes you need to harness that group energy to really convince somebody that something needs to change.
And I'm dealing with problems because I'm visually impaired myself, and it's just trying to network. And I said, look, I'm going through a tough time too. You know, I mean, so we'll work together. I just hope that you take the step to do this. And yeah.
Well, if anything, sometimes it's just maybe making a phone call for him, if that's what it takes. If you can help, just get an appointment, maybe offer to help get him there. You know, those little things can mean a big difference, because, again, sometimes there's a lot of inertia going on, and people just are unable to take that next step on their own. So you might be able to at least convince them to try one thing, and you help him do it, and you'll be there with him. And that might make a difference.
And again, what were you saying after
Disney? Dave, one thing I wanted to just add is, you mentioned that you were going through a difficult time as well. And we men are often resistant to getting help. So if you
kind of let him know. I'm the same way.
Right. I think we all are. So if you let him know.
That's why I listen to Patty's show. And I'm also a regular texter. So.
Yeah.
Nice to know you're out there, Dave.
So if you let him know that you're struggling, that might give him a little more permission to reach out as well.
We do, and he helps me get around if I need it. And I mean, you know, he said, well, you know, I'll side guide you, but it's just right now, and he hasn't been this way, but I hope he comes back to the way he was. It's just difficult. I mean, yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I hate to admit, you know, I got the problem, but sometimes I guess you have to. Right. And there's also another thing, too. It's also a thing, you know, I have insurance through a Medicare Advantage, Humana Gold Plus, and it's very limited, and there's a lot of things that are really difficult.
Limited,
as far
as,
like,
it's sometimes limited as to what you have access
and like
to.
Like now, I'm going through some light therapy for a skin treatment, and well, every time I go, it's a $25 copay, and it's you know, University of Illinois, it's a good hospital, but what do you do? You know, it's like, that's another thing. It's like, wow, it's so much cost involved in these things too. Sometimes,
right. Well, Dave, stay in touch with us, and hopefully you can find some answers. And I hope we've helped a little bit. I know you've helped by just calling and sharing your story as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you. Of course. Talk to you again soon. Yep. Be well. I'm going to take a break here and then the news on 720 WGN.